It was so quiet, but I'm going to do the gavel anyway. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. Today is February 3rd, 2015. The time right now is about 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And if you could please let the record show that Councilmember Camp contacted me earlier today and said that he would be approximately 15 minutes late. The first item that we have on the agenda is a public hearing. This is for AB 15021. Again, it's a public hearing. This is resolution number 003, 2015, declaring certain property as surplus and authorizing its disposition. Within parentheticals, this is public utilities and police equipment. And would this be Brad Jaka?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
What's your name?
The purpose of the public hearing tonight is to fulfill the requirement of RCW 35-94.040, which states that anything that is owned by the public utility must go through this process prior to being surplus by the utility. We also have on the agenda there some surplus property forms and a resolution for you to consider tonight.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and open up the public hearing. Is there anybody who would like to come forward to speak regarding this item? Okay, seeing nobody. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
I make a motion to close the public testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to close the public testimony portion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes, 5-0. Next item on the agenda is, Council, any discussion? Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
If no discussion, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes, 5-0. One more item. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to approve resolution number 003, 2015, declaring certain real property as surplus and authorizing its disposition.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to approve? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next item that we have on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Were there any signatures in? Okay.
No one here.
Okay. So seeing that there are no comments from citizens, we'll now move on to the consent agenda. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has entered the chambers just now. And we are now on the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Congratulations, Chair.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second. Sorry.
I have a first from Councilmember Cuddeback.
There was a pause there.
I know.
You were on a roll.
So we have a first to approve the consent agenda, and we have a second from Councilmember Gearing. I would request, and I'm sorry this was put into the consent agenda, I would request that that Council consider amending the motion to remove number 4 from the consent agenda. This is AB 15023.
Ooh, very good.
And again, we normally put these under new business. Do I have a motion to remove number 4 from the consent agenda motion? Councilmember Rasmussen?
I'll make a motion to remove item number 4 from the consent agenda.
And I'll second that.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Gearing to, in essence, amend the motion to remove consent agenda number 4, which is AB 15023. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of removing number 4, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. I'm now going to recuse myself, or...
Should we do consent agenda 1 through 3 first?
Oh, yeah, let's vote on consent agenda item number 1, 2, and 3. Any discussion on the motion that was already made?
Oh, the motion was already made. Never mind.
Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Motion passes 5-0. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp has just entered the room. And as stated in previous agendas, I'm going to recuse myself from the next item, which is consent agenda item number 4. And I've read that statement previously. I just don't.
And for the record, Council, if I may, Mr. Mayor, I believe that the point the mayor is making is that at best, because the mayor is employed by Snohomish County, he has at the very most a remote interest pursuant to the state ethics statute, which should be formally disclosed before the council votes on the issue, and that the mayor will refrain from attempting to influence the vote of any council member on this point and leave the room.
Thank you very much, and I will now hand the gavel to our Mayor Pro Tem Hanford.
Feel the power. Feel the power.
All right, let the record show that Mayor Thomas has left the chambers. Council, you have before you item number 4 on the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to accept the grant and authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the contract with the Snohomish County Human Services Department and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, let the record show that Councilmember Rasmussen made the motion, seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes 5-0. Let the record show that Councilmember Thomas has re-entered the chambers.
Thank you.
Nice job. Good job. He's a pro.
Point of order, the vote was 7-0.
Yeah.
Thank you.
7-0. Okay, next, thank you very much.
I forgot.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Hanford. Next item on the agenda is under new business, and this is a discussion for the 2015 comprehensive plan update, and I believe Brad has got this one, Mr. Feilberg. Hello, Brad.
There should be two pieces of paper. One is the new set of draft rules. Last time you saw it, it has three columns. It has four columns, with the fourth column being what the Planning Commission voted to recommend to the City Council at their last night's meeting. They trimmed it down to the 7 instead of 8 instead of 9, I think it was. When they removed from the last round from the consultant was the separate rule for closing on downtown. We added that to not the other one to make a little note that we should have the right one downtown as part of our regional center. The second piece of paper is the goals, or the policies that refer to goal number 2, which is the safety and security of the city. They're organized by kind of functional classification, we're going to call it that. That's about streets, public safety, fire police services, code amendments, and things like that. Just make it a little easier for them to review. They reviewed those. That was what came from the consultant. And then the breakouts and text that you left the Planning Commission would like them to see. The ones that have been deleted that say not goal 2, it's not that they don't like the policy, it's just they don't think that it actually is related to goal 2 and it could be used under one of the other ones. So we are going to give those to you tonight. You're welcome to review them over the next week, and then we'll have them scheduled for next Tuesday the 10th for discussions about what the council thinks about those and any comments or changes you'd like to see made. From now on, we'll be getting to all 170 of our goals. We'll be doing this weekly. The Planning Commission will review them on Monday, be delivered to the council on Tuesday. Is there corrections? And then the following week, the council will discuss those. And we'll be going that on until we get to the ball.
Excellent.
So if you have any questions, I'd be
happy to answer. And before we move on, we do have one light. I would like to encourage council members to read through the material and to send written comments to Brad. That will allow us, as we go through these on Tuesday next week, perhaps to go policy by policy. We'll start off goal by goal and then policy by policy. But having your comments ahead of time, we will make certain that we touch on those. So. I would encourage you to email comments or questions to Brad. The sooner the better, you know, Friday if that's possible. Does anybody have any questions about the process that we're going through right now before I move on to Councilmember Gehring? Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Brad, we're starting with goal two. Did I miss goal one, or is that just going to be a different week?
Because it turns out that goal one is driving up at 158 of these.
Could fall underneath, gotcha.
Okay. So that was just too much to
yep. And if I may say, that is okay. It's good to have broad goals yeah. that lots of policies fall underneath. I'd rather have less goals so and the policies underneath. Yeah.
Since they all fall under at least one other goal, we'll beat them all out and everyone will be happy with them by the time we bring you the whole
thing. I gotcha. Very good. Very good. Yeah, and appreciate that. I submitted my, 65 plus comments yes. on that to you. So I do appreciate that. And then, so when we do get to goal eight, there's some language that I thought might be a little bit better. So we'll just wait until that time. So when yeah. we get to a few weeks from now, we'll be that far along. And
well, actually, the goals we'll talk about next week.
Next week, yeah. okay. And we'll also talk about policies that go under goal two next week.
Right.
Got it. Thank you.
The goal with this, I appreciate that. Thank you, everybody. Is that we make it through everything each night. And again, I want to be clear that while they voted, this is not like a vote on a final document. This is them agreeing that at this level, this course review, that this looks good. There will be changes in grammar and there will be changes in wording and wordsmithing. Plus, we will be getting the final documents at some point in time. This is just to facilitate getting the goals and the policies put together. And then the consultant, as I understand it, will be working on the text. We are also working with the consultant on the schedule to make certain that we do have a schedule that shows that this can be completed by the end of June, pursuant to state law. And so we're still working on that, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, does anybody else have any questions about the procedures, the policy, what we're doing? I would encourage you to reach out to a planning commissioner and to thank them probably for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Or 12.
Thank you. Yeah, one per week minus one. They will be meeting on a weekly basis. And I know that they didn't meet during the summertime, but they're kind of making up for it now. And so please reach out to your planning commissioners and thank them for the work that they're doing. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Isn't there a compensation limit to them? I mean, if they're going to be doing this kind of work, aren't they? Will they be compensated with their fee?
Is there $50 a meeting, or is
yeah.
it
$50 a
meeting? I thought there was a top limit for the number of meetings per month. I just want to make sure if they're doing this kind of work, I would hope that they'd be.
They have five meetings. That to get paid for five meetings, right?
That's exactly.
Right. Sure.
Especially since they, given that they took the summer off, right?
For your information, the code reads as follows. Each commissioner may be paid for attending commission meetings and workshops in an amount not to exceed $50 per meeting for not more than one meeting each week.
Oh, well, there we go.
Thank you.
Like that if you start a meeting and it goes past midnight, you know.
No.
It's not two meetings. Okay. Any other discussion or comments? Okay. We're now going to move on to new business number two. This is AB 15024, resolution number 004, 2015, amending rules of procedure. And our city attorney, Lowell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The proposal before the council tonight is a proposed amendment to the council's existing rules of procedure to adopt a series of process regulations governing city council appeals, specifically city council appeals for which there is not an existing ordinance process already established by the Monroe Municipal Code. The reason that this is coming before you at this time is that there is a pending administrative appeal actually filed by Councilmember Gamble in his capacity as a private citizen with respect to a water and sewer utility charges related to a recent addition to his home, I believe. It is inappropriate at this time, in my opinion, for the council and or Mr. Gamble to discuss the merits of that appeal in tonight's setting, but it is appropriate for the council and recommended for the council to adopt a set of procedural regulations because none currently exist. This is a legislative matter, and for that reason, it is appropriate, in my opinion, for all council members to participate in the discussion and vote regarding this issue. But obviously, when and if the underlying appeal of Mr. Gamble does actually happen, he will not be able to sit in judgment on his own proceeding, and he would be obviously recused for that purpose. I'd like to draw the council's attention to a few points in the draft document in front of you. One has to do with the nature of the various appeals that may come before you. This is set forth in subsection 12.4.2. And the distinction drawn by the proposed amendment is between closed record appeals on one hand and open record appeals on the other. An open record appeal is essentially a day in court for the appellant to build an administrative record where there isn't one that already exists. So, for example, if there has not been a proceeding at the administrative level that the decision being challenged is based on, the opportunity to build such a record, the opportunity to bring in evidence, call witnesses, etc., is what would happen in an open record appeal before the City Council. Where there has already been an open record proceeding where the appellant has already had an opportunity to build a record and submit evidence that for example, the city engineer, the public works director, or whoever it is who made the underlying decision, that's already happened, the council's appeal will be in closed record, and the evidence that the council will consider is only the evidence that is contained in that previously established administrative record. Second point that I'd like to address and call the council's attention to has to do with the burden of proof. This is under the heading of standards in section 12.5.1. As currently drafted, the standards for the council's appellate review would require the council to affirm the challenged administrative decision unless the appellant proves that the decision was not factually supported by a preponderance of the evidence or is otherwise clearly erroneous under the code standards that are at issue. This is an area where the council does have some discretion. This is not something that's etched in state law. This is fairly commonplace to establish a clearly erroneous standard, but it's not the only one. This basically provides some level of presumption in favor of the administrative staff member whose decision is being challenged before the council, but that is not a requirement legally. If the council wanted to adopt a provision under which all appeals would be addressed under a de novo or brand new standard, that's entirely within your discretion. And under that alternative approach, there wouldn't be any presumption of correctness at all given to the underlying challenge decision, and the council would essentially review it brand new as a blank slate with no presumption attached to it. As I said, most administrative appeal procedures that I'm aware of do use a more deferential standard, and that's what the draft document in front of you has. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. You mentioned 12.5.1, which is where I had a question. First of all, felt a little weird. There was an appeal coming in, and then all of a sudden we're doing the timing seemed a little weird, so I wanted to make sure that there's not some sort of that just looked a little weird to me. Hey, we've got this appeal, let's make some rules for it, even though we already have an appeal there. That just my first comment on that. I have other things as well, but there's no trouble there or anything like that.
I think that's an excellent point, and for that exact reason, staff has recommended, and I certainly recommend, establishing a set of rules. In cases where the city's code simply provides for an appeal to the city council but doesn't purport to establish any procedural requirements, I think that due process, frankly, demands or at least strongly suggests that the appellant have an opportunity to understand what type of procedure, what type of process will govern his or her appeal proceeding, what kind of evidence will be allowed, what are the deadlines for submitting it, how long will that individual have for oral argument and presenting testimony to the council, is there an opportunity to submit a written statement. None of those issues were addressed in the city's code, except in the context of land use appeals. So for other types of appeals, I think it's very important for the council to adopt something so it's fair to an appellant, and that's the recommendation underlying these proposed amendments. And to go directly to your question, I don't see a significant concern with establishing some parameters governing the appeal process as long as they themselves satisfy due process concerns. I would have a procedural concern if the council were to simply entertain an appeal without even informing the appellant what the standards and processes would be.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Councilmember, you still have
that. Thank you very much. Let's see, two things. 12.5.1. And I guess there's already been an appeal that's been given. So the process that's outlined here, I'm assuming that the appeal that had the paperwork has already followed the rules that we have here. So by passing this tonight, we wouldn't somehow eliminate like the opportunity to bring it before council or anything, right? So based on what you just said, we know there's been an appeal turned in, and there's no rules in here or anything that are going to somehow not be able to have that heard. Does that make sense?
I have not personally analyzed the merits of the pending appeal, but I believe that it is certainly the intent of staff to ensure that pending appeal is treated appropriately and subject to the rules that are established here. And it would be a concern to me potentially if the council were to use these newly established rules to essentially undercut the appellant's ability to file the appeal in the first instance. That's hopefully answering
the
question.
No, that's good. I just want to make sure by passing this, we're not, everything.
I won't.
Any person who would come here and want to turn this in, if they had turned it in before we did the rules, their whatever appeal it is still good. Can still be heard, based on
that is certainly the intent underlying these procedures. And again, just to reiterate a point that I think bears re-emphasis, the proposed rule amendments apply equally and fully to all prospective administrative appellants. This is not created simply for one individual appellant or one individual appeal. This is something that will have broad, neutral, wide-ranging applicability.
And then finally, and I appreciate that too, finally, 12.5.1, and you said council gives council some discretion here, because to me, as I was reading that, and I'm going off the experience of the closed record hearing that we had for the Bungie Becker Farm. I believe it was when you first started representing us, it was probably 2010, and it was the planning department had said, here's what we think, and we heard, the closed record, and council thought, we went in favor of the appellate. It just didn't seem like what the planning department, and no disrespect to the folks that were here at that time, it just didn't seem right. And there's a spirit of the law and the letter law and things like that. And so as I look at 12.5.1, is there, you said council discretion. I'm reading it and it looks like, it looks pretty specific to me. And so I guess I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing there with, because you said gives council some leeway. I'm like, this looks like, if it's not this, then it's this. And that
And that also is an excellent point, and to reiterate my earlier comments, the discretion that the council has is the discretion under state law to establish administrative appeal procedures and administrative appeal standards that are different than this. This is one option of several at the council's disposal. What the council cannot do and should not be doing is creating on an ad hoc basis a new standard every time a new appellant comes before you, obviously, because that's arbitrary on its face. My point is not that this proposed language gives you significant flexibility or latitude, but that you have significant flexibility or latitude in coming up with standards. So again, if the council preferred, it could adopt a de novo standard, meaning that there is no deference given to the staff opinion whatsoever, that instead of the more deferential standard that is provided in the draft provision, which requires the appellant to demonstrate that the staff decision was clearly erroneous, you could have a lesser standard of proof or lesser burden, and that's entirely within the council's discretion. Again, as long as you establish some standard that is uniformly applicable and is not arbitrarily applied on a case-specific basis, that is something you have the ability to do.
And I appreciate that as well. Just based on hearing what you just said, I just think, you know, anybody that might want to come in, the old adage, you can't fight City Hall, and if the way that 12.5.1 reads, if it's already slanted towards it, you know, here's what staff said, you know, whatever decision we're talking about, what is a preponderance of the evidence? I mean, we're talking about regular citizens who are going to come in who don't have, you know, who may make a good case, but then who decides what a preponderance of the evidence is? And so I look at that and I'm like, is that going to be fair? Just, you know, the way I read it, if I came in here, I saw that, I'm like, you know, if I was the person doing it, so.
And actually, the preponderance of evidence standard is fairly easy to satisfy. That's just more likely than not, essentially. It doesn't require a huge showing to establish that. I think where the greater latitude lies for the City Council in coming up with an appeal standard is as it relates to the legal standard, which is, as currently drafted, is clearly erroneous. If you wanted to delete the word clearly and simply make it incumbent upon the appellant to prove that there was some error, but not necessarily clear error, which is a higher bar, that is within the council's discretion as well. And again, it really distills to the issue of how much deference you are intending to give to your staff member and your administrative decision that is being challenged.
Very good. That's what I had at this time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
You had an example of that's pre my time on a closed proceeding that.
Yeah, that was the Bungie Becker Farm. Councilmember Cuddeback was here, and Councilmember Williams, who's no longer with us. And so there was the planning department had said there was something with wetlands. He was just trimming some trees like along a fence line that was like sort of close to a little bit of a swampy patch that they decided to call a wetland. This guy had owned the land for 60 years. I mean, just didn't pass the smell test, and planning department saying, no. And this guy's like, I just want to do this thing on my own land. And so that's what that was. I mean, not that I have an opinion about whether it was right or wrong, but we overturned the planning department decision in that. There's a common sense. Are you kidding me?
Was it an enforcement of a... Because I'm just trying to understand what the appeal was.
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah.
And to be honest, Council, I personally don't recall that. I think one of the first appeals that I was involved in had to do with a cell tower, and this other tree cutting issue may have predated me. It may not have. I just simply don't have any recollection.
It was 2010, though. It was quite a while ago.
I remember
both.
Yeah. It was the Bungie Becker. Yeah, Bungie Farm up there. Jacob, you remember this. staff interpreted what the owner was doing was in violation of what was allowed up there. And they presented, and I don't think that was a closed, because you both presented that evening. So that's why I was, well, you guys still have the floor. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good point. I remember being closed, but it was before Councilmember Gamble was here, so he was just asking about it anyway.
Yeah.
Very good.
Councilmember Gamble, you still have the floor?
No, I'm asking the question because the city attorney has pointed out why we're having this conversation, and you know the part of the component is that we have no process. So I just, and that there was no example. So when you made the statement, there was an example. I wanted to make sure that. So if you have something else, I'd love. Is there another example? I'm yielding. I've got something else.
Councilmember Cuddeback, go for it.
Okay. Well, I was going to bring up that incident to say we did follow some amount of procedure there where that evening the planning department presented, it wasn't you? The planning department presented their side and the landowner was there and presented and council that night made a decision. So And the cell tower one, you're saying that's a land use one, so that's why it's more than just administrative appeal?
It would be an administrative appeal, but it would be an appeal for which procedures have already been established by the city's existing code provisions. I believe that the appellate processes that are set forth in Chapter 2150 and Chapter 2160 of the MMC are specific to land use matters.
Okay.
And the intent of the proposed amendments to the rules of procedure in front of you tonight are intended to serve as essentially a stopgap measure for appeals that don't have the same type of procedures already codified. And there may be some more of them sprinkled throughout the code in non-land use chapters. For example, utility charges.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is just to create some basic parameter of due process and provide the appellant and the city council, frankly, with some general procedural baselines to use in the decisional process. So no one's caught unexpectedly and there aren't unfair traps for the wary with things like time frames, the extent to which new evidence will be allowed, what the deadline is for submitting written testimony, how much oral argument will be allowed, things like that.
I mean, because the other ones were particular to land use, I'm wondering how we've gone this long without having what you're suggesting. Do you think that in the past we've used kind of the process in the land use for some of the...
I personally don't know. The council appeals that I'm aware of that I have assisted the council with since I've been city attorney have overwhelmingly been in the land use context.
Okay.
And I don't want to overstate the point. It's not inappropriate for the council to develop a set of procedural standards.
Sure. That's a good idea.
That are specific to a particular matter.
Yeah.
I believe in a case like the one that happens to be pending, where there is no procedure given whatsoever in the code, it's not fair to the appellant
yeah.
to blindside him or her and just have the person show up to council without any expectation as to what's going to occur.
Sure.
So if the council is not going to do this specifically and adopt a set of generally applicable appeal regulations, my recommendation for purposes of the currently pending appeal would be to adopt a case-specific set of standards and to distribute those to the appellant and the staff far enough in advance of the proceeding to give both sides fair warning of what the council would like to do.
Yeah. So I'm in favor of adopting procedures because I think it protects the interests of the people appealing. So I think that's important to spell out what the time frame is, when we have to hear the appeal, so it gives notice to that they'll have a timely appeal. So I think that's important. What would have helped me in making a decision is you've talked about the standard and preponderance of an evidence are clearly erroneous and de novo. What would have helped is having this, but then having that written in our information that we received saying here's where you can have a change and give us the two. You're telling us now, but it would help to have had that discussion or that information before tonight. So that's just for me for future. It would help me make a better decision. But
Councilmember Cuddeback, I think that Councilmember Gamble had yielded his time to you. So technically he still has the floor.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
Go for Councilmember Gamble and we'll come back to you, Councilmember Cuddeback.
No, but thank you. I mean, that was one of the things that we spoke with city attorney before because until I saw this on the agenda and we had, I got a phone call from Gene, it was there was, quote unquote, by the definition of why we're having this conversation, no process. Although I was given a process based off of, the past. All I want to say is that I did reach out to two council members, the two senior council members of this board, and Councilmember Cuddeback and Councilmember Gearing, in trying to find out which way to go. And I just wanted to make sure that I disclosed that because after reading tonight, it was never communicated to me that this was a quasi-judicial matter until it showed up in our bulletin and I had a conversation with Mr. Brazel today. So it was important for me to get that on the record.
Anything else, Councilmember?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember, cut it back. You still have the floor? Or you now have the floor.
Just one question about the standard. And leaning towards de novo, just because that gives council a wider, you know, we can still, you know, that just gives a wider berth to us in an administrative appeal like this, because in my time of sitting up here and looking at the code, I think in dealing with, you know, permitting and all that type of stuff, I think there's interpretations that can happen within the code. So that would be my suggestion, is for something for an administrative appeal, we might do kind of the standard of de novo versus clearly erroneous. So that would just be the last comment I made. But thank you for drafting the procedures. I think it's important.
Okay, so we have Councilmember Gehring, but we also have our city attorney, Zell. So I'm going to go ahead and...
Thank you. Just to be clear, the staff, I believe Mr. Brazel, took the lead role in preparing those. I assisted with some revisions, but I think the thanks is more appropriately directed to him.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Just a couple of things that I saw. So under conditions in 12.5.2, it talks about may impose reasonable conditions. Just the word reasonable, you know, how would that be defined? And might it just may impose conditions? Tell me about what reasonable means and how we would know if they're reasonable, that kind of a thing.
Well, Council, virtually everything that you do as council members, and particularly in the quasi-judicial context, is going to be judged by some higher reviewing body, i.e. a court, under this reasonableness standards. Whether or not you use that caveat in your code, or in your local rules here, that's the standard by which you will be judged. And my recommendation would be that if you are going to reserve for yourself the ability to impose conditions on a decision that you would make in the appellate context, that there is some formal reiteration of the reasonableness caveat in the rules themselves. And again, for the self-evident reason that what you need to do always has to be reasonable. And particularly in the specific context of requiring a particular appellant to do something. You can impose conditions, but they have to be reasonable.
Okay. And then finally, isn't there always a, and maybe there not always is because I don't see it here, people who have disagreed with other city things end up like, can go to a hearing examiner. Would that not be something that would apply to this versus there are some land use things where, you know, you pay the fee and then you can appeal to a hearing examiner. I don't see that here. I didn't know if that was like maybe that's something different.
Another excellent question, and the entire reason that this document is coming before you as a proposal is because it has come to the staff's attention recently that there are at least a few provisions, pre-existing provisions in your municipal code that specifically designate the city council as the appeal venue. And there is nothing that says that has to remain. There are very few situations under state law under which the council has to be the appeal venue. And the vast majority of appeals in the modern era are designated to go before the hearing examiner as a matter of practice. But there are still a few, apparently, arguably outdated references to the city council as overseeing appeals, and this body of procedures that's before you tonight is an attempt to serve as a stopgap and apply only in those circumstances where the council is designated as the appellate venue and where there isn't some other ordinance or MMC provision that sets forth specific procedures.
Okay, and I appreciate that. So person X comes in, they don't like the decision, council says, nope, we're not going to, we're upholding the staff decision. Any other vote, Constance, essentially that puts it to rest, puts it end. Can the city then be sued? You know, is that like a superior court thing? And that's where I was going with hearing examiner. I should have said superior court. So that would be a next step for person X who's walking in here.
Arguably, yes.
Okay.
This isn't technically a land use appeal.
Okay.
That this body of procedural regulations is specifically intended to not serve as a land use appellate process.
Got it.
So it would not fall within the general scope of the State Land Use Petition Act.
Okay.
It would not be an amendment typically to the city's development regulations or comprehensive plan, so the appellate venue would not be the State Growth Board. It wouldn't go presumably to the State Shorelines Hearings Board or the Pollution Control Board or any of the other quasi-judicial administrative tribunals that are set up. And as a default, if someone wanted to challenge the appellate decision that you as a council would make in this context, very likely the proper appeal venue would be the Superior Court.
Okay. Ultimately, and appreciate that, I like the fact that council is the appellate board. I think that is appropriate with stuff like this. We have the other ones where those procedures are established. So that's it. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions or comments from council? Councilmember Cutterback?
Well, just to comment on that last one, I think it's good that for an administrative appeal that it does come to council, because there is a cost going to the hearing examiner.
Yeah.
And if it's something small, an administrative appeal that's small, that might deter people from bringing it forward if they have to lay out money in order to do it. So especially if it's a small thing. So I think, you know, for an administrative appeal, I think it's good that it can come to council and not delve it towards another venue. So thank you.
All right, council members, any other questions or comments? Councilmember Gearing, are you going?
Thanks. Yeah, I was just going to say I had already said I lean towards de novo on 12.5.1, and I heard Councilmember Cutterback the same. But love to hear from some others if there's an opinion on that. Otherwise, we can. If there's more people that agree with that, then we can move forward with that. Otherwise, we should debate on whether or not we should change it. So,
Councilmember Gamble,
I agree.
Do any council members disagree with changing the standard to de novo under, is that 12.5.1?
12.5.1.
Okay. I see nobody disagreeing with that. So this result, what would then happen?
If the council would like to make a, is there a motion on the floor?
No,
not yet.
No, but what we have is we have nobody opposing changing 12.5.1 to allow for a de novo review.
Then my recommendation would be to strike the existing language of 12.5.1 and replace the existing language with something along the lines of the City Council may grant the appeal, comma, grant the appeal with modifications, comma, or deny the appeal, period. The council's review shall be de novo, comma, and no presumption of validity shall attach to the challenged administrative decision.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I move to approve resolution number 004-2015, amending rules of council rules of procedures adopted by resolution number 2013/025, striking section 12.5.1 and replacing with the text that I'm going to try and read, but what the attorney had said. City Council may grant an appeal, comma, grant an appeal with modifications, or deny. Council ruling shall be de novo, and no presumption of validity shall attach to the challenged administrative decision. I believe I got that right.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and I have a second. Is there a way to, since he was parroting back the language that you had, that in the event that there is an inconsistency between what he said and what's in the recording for what you dictated, that what you dictated is what he had intended by
my intent is to repeat back what the attorney had said?
Certainly, and if, as long as your motion for approval conveys that intent, it should be fine. The city clerk can then work to...
And the second agrees.
Okay. So I'm understanding that the intent of the motion is to have the language that was read into the record by our attorney before the motion was made. Okay. All right. So we have a motion on the floor to approve with that amendment. And is there any discussion? And a second from Councilmember Hanford. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We are now going to skip on the council member reports. We'll come back to that. And I'd like to move into land sales update as Jane is here. And then we'll go back to council member reports. Do any council members have any disagreement with that?
Perfect. Okay.
Jane, come on up. And Jane, are you going to lead in on this? Or?
I'm letting Jane run the show tonight.
Okay.
Hello,
everyone.
Hello. Everybody.
Good.
Good. Do you need a statement? We just closed some pieces of the property that are currently for sale, kind of windmill court. There's a few up in Snohomish. Just to kind of show you other things. They're all commercial, but some of them will
Thank
be
you.
Larger, some smaller, some have improvements, and so.
Thank you for sharing.
And it's not exhaustive, but it should be illustrative. And they're not numbered, so again, there's nothing for price for you. And then one of them is a new spot, and that's the little project across from Walmart that still has some data, which I think is kind of important. If there's any specific questions, please feel free to interrupt me. And I think Gene hopes that I would just come up and we kind of bring everybody up to speed as to where we are going into 2015. Hard to believe really, but. Here we are. I'm just going to start in order. Did I get enough? Is everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just got in order of how they will likely close. They may shift a little bit, but actually, Irwin might go for parcel 6 or 7. But starting with the City Well, I guess that's what we word it. They are in their due diligence. They have money in escrow. When I checked with the broker buyer, the one the same, they're not represented by a broker, he felt that everything was fine. The due diligence all works good. He didn't necessarily perceive any reason that they wouldn't be closing. Their due diligence expires on the 17th, and based on the contract, they would close on March 3rd. I think the only thing, if there's going to be a hiccup here, maybe that the money comes from this Chinese investor, and that Chinese investor doesn't always appear to be here when Bob Ford, the gentleman, his name, when Bob needs something from him. So that potentially, but Bob, very aware that the dates are coming. I outlined that for him, you know, not too long ago, and his reply was he didn't. Parcel 6 and 7, that is the piece, it's called the elbow piece. So when you come down Tierney, take the right there, going north into Lowe's, stuff to the right kind of goes into the little elbow chain link in Tierney.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, obviously, lots of conversation about this. This particular buyer, what kind of delayed this, they're still under contract. They are actually under contract. Through February 18th. They would like to extend, and really this is kind of a team play. If we went into the end of 2014, there was lots of conversation about the benefit of that buyer doing the storm water retention work.
Right.
And we exchanged documents, we exchanged numbers, they had their consultants look at it, their consultants really, I don't think, disagreed with our numbers, and then so they're dialogue went back and forth. Final outcome was, hey, city, why don't you just go do your work? you know, we still want to buy it, but we really want you to just be done. And then I made it very clear that there be no confusion, that when that work is finished, it will include nothing relative to your development. Meaning, you're going to have to come back, you're going to have to dig everything up, you're going to have to do your own thing on site. That kind of caused, well, what do you mean? I said, well, that's why I'm making this really clear several times, because there seems to sometimes be a little confusion. But they definitely want to stay under contract. To do that, we'll need to amend, because legally, their contract would expire, and they'd either have to be forced to close or come out of escrow. I think, you know, they've shown good faith. They continue to market. They apparently have lost a couple of users for the site. It does happen. Maybe somebody teed up, can't quite get the answers, can't get the cost. They go, hey, you know, we've got other things to work on. But they claim that they want to stay under contract once our work or the city's work is done. They will close, and I have to kind of memorize this because these weren't emails going back and forth today. I just sort of come to Gene, although I've been asking for this, it came today. Okay. Basically extend until the city's work is done, and then within no less than 120 and no more than 280, they will close. So there needs to be, I think, some refining of that. I don't know why they would need. We were done tomorrow. We gave you notification. We're not going to give you 280 days. And that's what I told them in an email back today. So if that's the gist of what you're trying to accomplish here, I'm not going to support that with council, because you had 200 days already. If you were really doing your job, you would have all these users teed up and waiting for us to finish our work. You would have educated them through the process. So, but it's nice that they still definitely want to close on the property. They're not really arguing price at this point. It's more just we need a little bit more time when you guys are done, so that we can, one, prove that the work was done and you're finished and you're off the site and there's nothing that we need to be concerned about. And then we can step back into finishing our due diligence and work to close on the property. So that's a good thing. I mean, they haven't gone away. I think I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you, that they just didn't pick up the city's work. I think we were all maybe a little surprised. I thought it was kind of a, hey, why don't you just do it? You know, you can get on the site, you can do whatever you need to do. I think they were confused, not confused, concerned that it was going to get more expensive, and then they'd be doing city work and it would kind of get out of control. I can see that point too. The Irwin PSA, this, forgive me, I tried to get it all printed out, but it's in all things the printer, but if you'll recall, so now you come down here and you've taken the right into Lowe's. Now we're talking about, we'll all be lovingly remember it as the old discount tire site, maybe more than parcel 5. But this is Irwin Development. He came in with a site plan to develop the whole site with asphalt, and then he will build the Petco building. It's on the site plan. I don't think it's top secret anymore. That's what he intends to build. He would not build the approximate 10,000 square foot building that they would share a party wall. He will not build that. He'll basically rough grade that pad. And then his asphalt will be facing east. And then when that building is built, they'll take up the orphan triangle that's part of the Lowe's parking lot. So all of those pieces get used. Whether the second building faces east or faces north, that parking lot, and Brad would have to double check on that, but that should bring them to code on parking and it gets rid of that orphan piece. And I'm fairly confident that Dave Irwin will end up being the developer for that. He just doesn't have that second user, but I know that's what he's trying to do. And then he would come back in and just purchase that piece as well. And then he'd own the whole thing. Parcel 8, Mirvest, who is the group that has the consent under contract, dearly would love to put Parcel 8 under contract. I've kind of just been saying no. I mean, you know, hopefully that still meets with council's agreement. We kind of took that position. deliver on 6 and 7, and then there'd be a reason for you to come to us under contract.
Correct.
You may or may not be aware, since we're going to cover a small group, you might as well just say it. Starbucks has been looking to get a freestanding or some kind of drive-through that's bigger than their current one on Highway 2. Their brokers, a friend of mine, we talk about it all the time, tried to get him to work at our stuff from the very beginning. And they have, he thinks that they've exhausted most of their possibilities and they're not getting much traction. I pointed out personally to him, he said, oh, it's not on 2, and said, well, go look at the finished grade. When the pond is finished and you're sitting at the corner of Tierney and Chain Link and that extension goes through, you'll be able to see a Starbucks sign from the end of 522. And I would bet that that's probably going to be about as good as it gets for you guys in this market. So he told me to get him all the information, and he'll have it tomorrow. You know, he needed to kind of hold the bells and whistles again. And I have somebody, obviously, that would step in, wouldn't even be near that, but there would be a number of people that would step in and put that piece under contract. But he has to get me that. He has to get that site location through Starbucks first. But we know they're moving. It's not, we're not disrupting something else that they're doing. I've been talking with this with him for almost 2 years. I think it'd be a great site for them.
I think so too.
Having spoken with staff, they think that we're far enough away from the light that we can get a right in, right out only, southbound on Chain Lake. So when you pass the light at Tierney, we'll have another way to get in and out of the
gate. Good.
Because right now we're one access restricted off of Tierney. If that would be the case, Starbucks wouldn't approve it.
Right.
You'd have to have circulation. But I think with that, it gives them a lot of options. I think slightly better options than where they are right now. We did that last Saturday. We came into town, drove around, and helped do that off and on, and tried to get to that Starbucks over there. I'm like, wow, it takes a while. Because you have to wander through the parking lot. So that's my goal for Parcel 8 right now. I'm not concerned once we fill it and people know it's for sale. I'm not, like I said, each one of these has been under contract right now. We don't need another stormwater explanation on what it means, but who's going to do it, how much does it cost, we'll just figure it out. Track 999, also lovingly known as the landfill, I've had several different conversations with multifamily groups. The stumbling block continues to be the idea that they don't want to clean it up. And I emailed Gina, I said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if there was some, like, pool of money, whether it's, you know, Department of Ecology or something that, you know, we could say, hey, we want to clean this up, can you lend us the money? I don't know how that works. I should know more about that. But it wouldn't necessarily come out of city coffers, because it's not going to be expensive. But I think the not having an NFA letter, which we're not really supposed to have to get, that's not how they all operate. They need the black and white, give me your NFA. That being said, in about 30 days, there is a large group out of California that is going to close on another contaminated piece that I've had listed for almost 5 years. And they are doing it without an NSA, and they're doing it all cash. They have not closed yet, but if they do, this would be one of the first sites that I would send them direct. They don't seem concerned about it. Whatever kind of money they're bringing to the table isn't concerned about it, because if it was, we'd have to be going through lender approval. And it is one particular assemblage property, so they might be a candidate for that. But that would be the email that Jack sent for Steve Peter today, that, hey, when you give me the NFA, then I'll have some. So that will probably continue to be part of our challenge with that, is how do we address that in the deal, unless we just find somebody sophisticated enough to understand the pricing is at zero. So you cleaned it up, and then we'll get it reappraised, and then that will be our price. I don't, you know, I'm going to talk to smarter people than me on this and see how they start to deal, you know, and see. I've got a couple of attorneys that we're going to have a talking, like, hey, if it's worth, you know, not that you're not clever, but it's better if I get somebody else, right?
Keep all of that.
And I can, you know, it's like arm's length. But I think that's going to have to be how we have to approve that. Either we find some hidden money somewhere, you know, brownfield cleanup fund that the feds or somebody is willing to lend it to us cheap, or loan it to somebody else cheap, that would even be better, to get that mostly under contract. Rich Brunhammer from the Celtic Station, I don't know if you know Rich, but that's the Strip 4-5 guys, so it's between Fred Meyer and Galaxy. He continues to pretend that he has interest, although I have yet to see any evidence of that. But he gets a lot more interested when somebody else is writing up for some dirt that he should get in trouble. And he's a personal friend, so if he were standing right here, I'd say exactly the same thing. So the teardrop piece, parcel I, top of the roundabout.
Jane, could you hold on a second? Councilmember Hanford has a slide on, is it on the landfill piece? Do you want to?
It's on the one we talked about just a minute ago, so I can either wait or we can hit it now.
Okay, go ahead and continue, and then we'll come back to
it. So I call it the teardrop piece, also known as parcel I, top of very top of the retaining wall up above Lowe's. Kind of an interesting little piece. I've talked to medical office developers about it. I've talked to some other groups about it. It's in a kind of an awkward shape. There's a very fine point to it, and it's top of the roundup, and it's going to be impacted by some easements and some other things. We'll find the perfect buyer for it, but it's going to be tricky. And it doesn't have, it won't have a lot of usable once we're done just because of the shape of the property. So that's kind of the update. Oh, and then I forgot one, but we have a 20,000 square foot medical office group that is has the information currently on parcel 2 and 3. So they may decide that that works for them. Monroe is their target zone. So we'll see
that. That's right behind Chiffy Lube, right?
It would be the stuff immediately south of Providence.
Yes.
So as you kind of come around the curve,
that's exactly
there,
you've
got 9, which is where the vault is underneath 9.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn that into a food truck, gravel path, temporary food truck. Food truck goes in the so that's my cliff notes version.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, do we have a map that has those 9, 1...
One of the
because I'm visual, and so anytime we talk about it.
You mean me using my hands and
helmet? I just have a hard time picturing.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gene, I'm sorry, can I get you to stand up? It's your
goals. So this is parcel 8. This is right here, the whole thing. So this would be the pond we fill, and then this would be, I think, realigned.
And just to clarify, parcel 8 was the Starbucks one, though.
Correct.
Possibly.
There'd be more buildable area than just a Starbucks.
Right.
But
it'd be the anchor star or whatever.
Like bringing Panda or Chipotle, bring a Starbucks and the rest of them follow.
Right.
So, or it would just be freestanding and something else. There is some slope to consider.
Okay.
On this piece that kind of slopes down and out, so that'll impact the buildable area.
Okay.
And then you're not seeing the property line, but this is 13-7.
Okay.
Okay. So then 4 and 5 kind of will divide them about here. What you don't see on that is that I refer to it as the orphan piece. A portion of the parking lot actually still belongs to the city. So we track this so that we don't end up with it when we're done.
Right.
And what would happen here is Petco would sit about here, facing this direction, then there'd be another buildable pad, and this would be the orphan.
Okay.
So we get rid of, we kind of start to get rid of all of it.
Okay.
That still leaves us with this parcel 4,
mm-hmm.
and then Providence sits there, generally, and we still have 2 and 3 here, and this is 9.
Oh, no,
now,
that's 9.
We had a developer interested in 9, and through staff research, and there's vaults under here. You could build on them, but it's expensive, and you only get about, I think, 2,500 square feet, and the pond doesn't go away. And then we would want somebody to buy the pond, maintain the pond, so we had conversation about, wouldn't it be just cool if we graveled it, put some stuff out for electricity and water, and turned it into like a food truck, kind of little corral. And then this is tracks. It kind of sits like that.
That's 99.
999.
And I is the green belt down on the lower right-hand corner?
It's
at the bottom on your right.
On the right. Is that I?
It's all wooded.
It's actually more here, right?
That's I?
That's 999.
No,
that's
not 999.
I is right there.
Okay.
And I kind of runs here and back like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of deceiving. It's not, it would be nice if it was all that, but it's not. It's a little kind of sliver to it like that. And then if you add in the extension and everything and all this is kind of going on here, this little piece really is going to kind of get the brunt of a lot of activity in the next couple of years.
Really?
So, you know, in fairness to somebody that would buy it, you'd want them to know that. I'm telling them, hey, if you're interested in this piece, you better understand this is all happening. Because I don't want them to come back later and go, you didn't tell me this, buyer beware. But, so that, those are the pieces.
Just so council knows too, the corner piece that's left from the Walmart construction, that's going to be Carl Jr.'s February application.
Okay. Oh, great.
Which is good, but then that will impact, if this was Wendy's, that's what happens, is it's kind of who's ever getting pushed into the door. But I can't see Wendy's paying what Carl's would probably pay for this, especially with Five Guys. So every time the burger, you know, they all cut into each other, and these two will go head to head. So I'd rather see, like, you know, a Panda. And I'm surprised it's not Panda, to be honest with you. But that's okay because of the Panda King here. Panda Express. Sorry, it was short.
I'd go there.
So Panda right next to Starbucks, is that what you're.
I know, I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So they're both drive-through. Canada does a phenomenal amount of business out of their drive-through now.
Uh-huh.
So I probably have to have two buildings.
Star
you
Panda.
You can do a double drive-through, but it gets a little funky.
Panda Box.
Panda Box.
Yeah. So this is what I would like. I would like Starbucks to turn their attention to this. I think it actually makes a lot of sense. They're not that far off. Two, it gets them all the circulation that they need. Gets them a pretty prominent location that you can see. And I said, as I go to the east and drive into town, as you drop across the bridge, you can actually see up in the east.
Better than her.
And I just don't know where else they'll go, unless they're willing to buy out Denny's or Dairy Queen somebody else.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
Not regarding that. I'd add something else, but thank you. That's
okay.
Visuals. Thanks. So much helpful.
Councilmember Hanford, you still have the floor.
Thanks. Has the city looked into applying for like federal grants for cleaning up the land use lots? Are there federal grants available for things like that? I would think there might be, but just a thought.
There may be. We haven't done a lot of work on that, to be quite honest. Recently, Jane and I've talked about and kicked the idea around because of the response from prospective buyers. So it's one of our avenues that we need to pursue.
Yeah. I would think that would be something we should check into.
Well, we happen to have a pretty large real estate organization. So I'm going to ask the tribe members of the country, hey, does anybody have a secret source? We'll see what we can find through that.
That's it. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, what we'd like to do is have Jane, or at least have an update from Jean once per month. If you have any questions, though, please let us know, and we'll schedule another one of these for about 3 or 4 weeks out from now.
Yeah,
good?
I might even be driving back. So I might be able to bring, I might be able to get myself here.
Very nice. Thank you very much for
thank
your
you
work,
so much, Jane.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Did you want these? Yeah.
We're good.
These
you're welcome to keep it. If not, I will take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sell.
Everybody else wants to keep it?
Yes.
Yeah, and if there's anything that you want to buy, you know who.
The first. Okay, Council, we're going to go back up to Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Still suffering a little bit after Sunday, but life goes on, and it's happy for life, family, and job, and the Seahawks will be back. Thanks.
Bye, Jane.
Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Baseball kicking off. I don't know if that other sport's going on too.
Oh yeah.
Is it kicked off?
Probably among the youth, yeah.
Yes, okay. Sign-up's closed. So any and all that are interested in the great thing that is called Little League, it is starting up again. Tryouts are this Friday for the girls, I know for sure, at Top 10 Sports. It's been a great partner for the league. And it's crazy to think that February, whatever we are, but baseball's right around the corner, and we'll be back out using the city parks, and it's that time of year.
Right on.
That's about it.
Great. Councilmember Davis?
Nothing.
Councilmember Kim?
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Rasmussen?
Race season is beginning, so hurry, fill out your registration forms, get signed up for a race this summer before they sell out. Signed up for two last week, which I'm motivation to keep it going this year. Also wanted to bring up an email that the mayor sent out to council regarding the community transit route along Village Way. Looks like that is going to stay. Very good news. So I want to definitely thank council, mayor, staff, and the senior center, library, and of course the food bank for all kind of coming together and addressing community transit and letting them know. And looks like we're going to continue to have a bus route down there. So, yeah, thank you. And that's all I have.
Thank you. And Councilmember Rasmussen, both you and Phil brought that to our attention, and it was meeting with you over Christmas that led to where things are today. So thank you for doing that. And I know that folks from the Senior Center and from the library were both at the meeting before. They made a big impact. And I want to finally underscore that the decision has not been made yet. We understand that that is going to be made tomorrow by the Community Transit Board. And the important thing is that staff at the Community Transit Agency has decided to recommend keeping it in the route, which is a significant thing. And I do mm-hmm. thank them for coming and meeting with us and for listening and changing the recommendation. So, thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I would say, would it be helpful to send a thank you, or is that appropriate to send a thank you?
Yes, well, I'll draft a thank you. I've already done one via email, but I'd like to wait for the decision to be made.
Definitely. If the decision is made, you know, maybe a thank you from council thanking for the decision. I think that's good.
Absolutely.
And I thought the game was great on Sunday, so... no, not the loss, although I am from New England. I'm from Vermont, so... It's kind of tough. I have all my relatives back there who are big Pats fans. So I thought that catch, that last catch, not the interception, but that last catch had to be one of the best catches I've ever seen.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was a good game.
It was a great, great catch.
It was a good game overall.
Thank you. Yep. Councilmember Hanford.
Councilmember Kovac has already spoken all the words about the great catch.
Let's keep that going.
So nothing more to add. Thank you.
Do we have a report from the Finance and Human Resources Committee from tonight's meeting?
Yes, we met. We elected a chair. Councilman Gearing will be chair of the...
That's what you get when you're not there.
I was going to say, was he there?
Never miss your draft.
Never miss a meeting. Oh, my goodness.
And we outlined a preliminary agenda for Councilman Gearing to preside over. But no... we did, just as part of the standing committee. I know we talked about when we instituted the new review process and stuff that, you know, that the committee would be checking in to make sure that the annual reviews have been met. That sort of, so we'll be checking in that on the March time frame, reporting back on that to make sure that all those were conducted. So other than that, I think that's about it, and then that'll be my last report.
Okay. Any questions for that committee? Okay, that's going out to department staff. Chief? Okay. Okay. Seeing no other staff members in the crowd, Let's go ahead and move on to the H30 update, since we've had the land sales update. So, Gene.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Actually, both the mayor and I had the pleasure of meeting with H30 last week, and I actually asked him not to come out this evening because we've kind of got an action plan that we've talked about. But anyway, we had the opportunity to meet with them. They talked about some of the issues that they've been dealing with, clarified some things for us. One of the ideas that we kicked around with them is dissecting the project, meaning phase it, where they would come in and put up the poles, put up the facility so they could start towing skiers right away, and then build the building secondarily to that. The reason why is because the cost that they have to, or the cost they realize is based from the building cost. I want to say it was $1.3 or $1.5 million for the building itself, which is a lot to swallow when they haven't received any revenues. So they do have equipment on hold. I believe they put some money down, so they would have the ability to potentially get the equipment, put up the standards, put up the cable, put up the motor, start towing skiers this summer is what they said. And right now they're working with their contractor to find out what components they actually need to meet ADA standards, all those types of things that they have to do to be able to open. So they'll be coming back in the next couple of weeks with a package to present to council for your consideration. We talked about them being out of contract, a breach of contract, and what they said is that all the monies right now are coming out of their personal pockets. They don't have any investors or anything like that, and so the way the payments are set up is it's a quarterly payment system, so it's $5,000, $5,500 or something like that for the first quarter. So what they did is a good faith effort, knowing that they're still in breach of contract, is they came in and they paid for January. So they wrote a check that came in on Friday, I believe it was, of last week, for $1,700 and some odd that we've received. So as a good faith effort to show council that they are still on board, they want to see the project happen. They're still spending money as far as working with their contractor right now to come up with a proposal to bring back for council's consideration.
Okay. So we have Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you for the update, Gene. So is the contract to make quarterly payments, or that's just the way they budgeted and the contract is monthly payments?
I believe they're supposed to make quarterly payments, and that's how it's set up in the contract, which is why they're still in breach. They understand that, but to come, what they had stated is to come up with $5,000 or a little over $5,000 right now when the project may fold, if we can't come to some sort of agreement, just doesn't make financial sense to them because they do not have any backers right now, and they don't have any revenues coming in.
So they're, just to clarify, so they're in breach because they're supposed to make a quarter payment in advance. So January's payment was supposed to be for the whole first quarter?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
Well, my comment was similar. I thought they were in breach for the fourth quarter.
That's what I thought.
We discussed last. So my question was, did they come into compliance for the fourth quarter? Now they're out of compliance for the first quarter as well.
If I understand, they're out of compliance for the first quarter, but I'll double check that and make sure when they come back in, I'll make sure I have that fact verified.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Again, one of the things that we talked about was the option of not developing the whole project up front, and so I want to make certain that you heard that, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I like the fact that, hey, let's get something started. The thing that I want to make sure is very clear that is in our contract is that if it gets started and it dies, they're under contract to remove the towers and remove everything.
Yep.
Correct?
It's in the agreement.
It's in the,
it is.
Go ahead.
And that is one of the provisions called out in the contract, and certainly if this is something that council would entertain, we would open up the contract. We've got some other provisions that we'd like to put in there that aren't currently in the current contract, so we'd have to have those discussions, but yes, that's one of the things is that they have to remove the facilities.
That's what I thought. So if we modify the contract in any way whatsoever to allow them to do this portion at a time type construction, I would definitely want that to stay in. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
My only concern with doing the towers first and doing it in phases is I thought it was part of the contract that at the end of the contract the building comes to the city. And that was one of the things, as council members, we discussed as one of the reasons why the rent payment was, in my opinion, fairly low, was because we were going to come out of the contract with the building. So my only concern with doing it in phases is doing the towers dies down as a possibility, as you suggested. They remove the towers that's in the contract. Where's the building? So if we're going to open up the contract, that, I mean, sounds like there's a few revisions if we go in the phased route that need to be looked at. It might be a new contract. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look at the contract again, but that would be my concern with doing it in that phased approach. Knowing that there's difficulty with funding, knowing that there is difficulty with this new venture, not knowing them having a tough time getting investors in the first place, and not knowing how well it's going to do in this area because it hasn't been done. So,
okay. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, the only other question I had was, if I recall correctly, in the contract, they were required to secure a bond in order to facilitate the removal of the structure.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the safeguard that was built in.
Yeah.
So I would just want to make sure that, you know, we go down this path, that would be a requirement.
Still be a requirement.
It would still be a requirement.
Yeah.
Gene.
And this phased approach isn't all that uncommon for any of the folks that are familiar with Trilogy Golf Course up on Redmond Ridge. That was phased.
Exactly.
They brought in trailers for the clubhouse for, I want to say, almost 5 years, and now they've since then built a beautiful clubhouse. And so it's not uncommon to go this approach. However, it is a major contract change. All that wording would be changed to suit council's pleasure.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, and I would say I totally understand that, and I think the only difference is comparing the two. The golf course is a known entity, especially, you know, even in the Pacific Northwest. So I think you can make revenue assumptions and projections and stuff that are based off some pretty firm data to compare against.
Yeah.
Where we don't have that in this particular venture, so we just want to make sure that we protect ourselves in that, knowing that we've already had financial issues out of the gate. I would want to make sure that we have stuff that's in place that we're not stuck, you know, with the bag, having to pay money to tear towers down, and, you know, some of the stuff that we built in to the contract to make sure that that stuff didn't happen, that we didn't get left on the hook. So that's all.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, I guess I just got to speak up and concur with Councilmember Cutterback that, you know, the part of the appeal that I heard from council when I sat on that side was the building. And, you know, I remember one council member saying I'd make that deal all day long because of the building. We get the building at the end of the day. And knowing that, hey, there's, in my opinion, a very likely chance that that building won't get built. That is my opinion. It bothers me with this phase piece of it. So, yeah. In my mind, those costs haven't changed in the beginning, so I mean it should be no surprise. But that is a very valid and a definite concern with the building.
This is why I'm asking the question and turning a spotlight on it. Is I'd like to hear some feedback on that.
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Cutterback.
So Trilogy Golf, is that a city owned? Is that now a city owned?
I'm not sure. I've
okay.
Golfed there, but I don't know who owns it. I just know that that's what they did.
Yeah, I can understand many projects being phased projects, but whether then they had a contract where the first phase is supposed to revert to a different owner and then the first phase being moved to the third phase and never getting done, that's my concern. So I have concerns about that approach with the contract that we have and what was specified in our original contract. I'm curious to hear what they bring forward. Of course, open to looking at their proposal and what they would like. I'm curious and I'm open to looking at their proposal, but I have reservations about a phased approach. Unless our priorities have changed or the building isn't as important or those type of things, because sitting up here when we had those discussions, the building was a big factor in saying this is going to be really cool that we're going to get this building at the end that's going to be city property and we're getting a building out of this. So no, having been in those discussions, but I am curious and open to their proposal.
Councilmember Davis and then Councilmember Hanford.
Well, like I said last week, I'd like to see what their plan is. So I'm interested to see what this phase option that they're talking about would look like. If they don't have investors, though, if they're the only ones with the money, then I'm kind of dubious as to whether they've really got the financial ability to make this happen. So I agree with the building was a major deal in this, and if they're that unfinanced, that if it ever showed up, it might be more than 5 years before that happened. So again, like I said, I'm a bit dubious about their financial situation. So I'm very interested to hear what the plan is, and I think from that point, I'll make.
And this idea came as a result of us talking about different provisions of the contract and about me asking the question, why have you lost your investors? And one of the things that was discussed was, well, you know, if we had a facility going, you could demonstrate that people would use it, there'd be revenue and whatnot, which caused in my mind the thought, well, if you were to do the first phase, does that allow you to demonstrate you're going to have customers and whatnot? So all that came from a conversation about modifying the contract and then also asking that question, okay, why haven't you built yet? Why have you lost your investors? And so that's why the conversation came up with a potential phased approach. So I just wanted to give you a little bit more background on that. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, just a reminder too, one of the agreements was that as part of the construction, they were going to rebuild the filtration device that feeds into Lake Tai. And that was another huge part of, in my mind, the benefit. Bioswell, is that what the terminology was? So in my mind, that was another huge benefit of us doing that whole thing. So just to jog our memories a little more.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Gene Mayer, in your conversations with H3O, did the fact of the permits, their current permits being out of date, ever come up in any discussion on that?
We actually had an extensive discussion over those points and went back over what permits that they would need to update, talked about the code that we've since had two code revisions, I think, since they submitted, so those things would need to be updated. But the majority of that is applicable to the building, not necessarily the standards of the towers. So, but we did have that discussion, and they really educated us, too, on the finance component and what state law allows them to do and doesn't allow them to do. And that was a learning process for them as well. And like the mayor mentioned, the concept of phasing it would give them the ability to show that, hey, people are using this, revenue is being generated, and that's where they could possibly get investors that are accredited to be able to be part of the project.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move then on to the city app update. Gene or Brad? Brad.
Thank you. So just an update real briefly. The city app, which we've Chris and Chu's Monroe to keep the kind of brand going with the chamber, the Chu's Monroe website. They've been having their meetings with the local businesses that have been well attended, and they actually had a meeting with nonprofits that was also well attended, and I have heard some really good things back from the nonprofits that they're really excited about this stuff coming forward, and it's going live on March 1st.
Be going live on March 1st.
That's
the plan at the
moment, yes.
Okay. Sounds good. Does anybody have any questions about that? When I did the walkabout in the downtown, there were a lot of people, a lot of the businesses had already been contacted. There was interest. And do you know how well attended were those meetings?
There was like 48 people, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Heard about it, and there was at least 20 at the nonprofit thing. So.
And
there's another one coming up, I think,
this
is the next one.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, what I'm understanding is that whereas before there was a subscription fee for businesses for the basic service, now there is not a subscription fee, that it's now free.
If you get listed, if you show up at a meeting, you get listed for free. If you want to, if you have the ability to add ads and things like that, then that's the cost.
Right. So they made a change to try to attract more businesses to do this. And again, this is something that's being offered to our community as we are the first ones here in the state doing this. One of the add-ons would allow, as Una was putting it, an eyeball or a sensor so that when you walk within a certain distance of the sensor, like the front door to the business, that your phone, if it's turned on, the app will do a proximity thing. And notice of like an ad or an advertisement, like, you know, the buffalo chicken wings just came out of the oven, or you know, or 5% off to you because you got this coupon just now on your iPhone app, so or other app. So anyway, there seems to be a lot of excitement, and when we know that it's going online, we will make certain that letterhead and whatnot is has got that on there. Your emails when they go out should encourage people to check out the app and whatnot. But anyway, that's where that is. Any questions? Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on then to mayor and administrative reports, and I'll go ahead and report out for myself real quick. Monroe Monitor has a picture of one of the places that I was on Friday. I asked Una for the raising of the 12th man row flag. I asked that there be some music, you know, a couple drums or something, and Una contacted the school district. The school district talked to the band teacher on Thursday morning, and the band corps, the drum corps, was out there in the median.
Nice.
Without orange vests. But in the median. Making some great music when both before and after and during the flag raising ceremony. We also had Smiley, who is a former Patriot NFL player, raise the flag, and that was awesome. There was also a wonderful 12th man motorcycle at the rally, which I encourage everybody to look this over. But it was a really great event. I'm guesstimating that there were 60, 70 people present. And again, this is something that was organized in the course of a week. So anyway, it just shows how our community comes together, and I thought that was a great thing. Community transit, of course, was a big thing, and I don't think I have anything else to report from last week at this time. So does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, Gene.
I'll start preparing other reports in the coming weeks, but the one thing I did want to let council know that Jane had mentioned that there's a medical provider that's kind of interested in the North Kelsey property. I want you to know that that was a tip that came to our office from Economic Alliance of Snohomish County. They, this particular medical provider reached out to them. Then emailed myself, and within minutes we swung into action, had the medical people on the phone, had a map, so I want to thank Brad and his staff. Everybody swung into action, and we were competing against Snohomish because they were the other group or other location that they were looking at. So Economic Alliance is working for us, and we just appreciate them. So.
Nice, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions for Gene? All right, let's go ahead and go over to the draft agenda and the extended agenda.
draft agenda for February 10th, 2015. We have Police Department awards and Monroe Chamber of Commerce. We're here to talk about downtown parking. Consent agenda. And under unfinished business, we'll be discussing the 2015 comprehensive plan update. New business, we'll be looking at resolution amending 2015 fees schedule. Final action, we'll have the 2015 Monroe legislative priorities. We're working on finishing those up right now. We'll get those in front of council as soon as possible. And then we'll have the transportation P4 meeting update. How about that? Additions or deletions?
We're going to make one revision. The Pledge of Allegiance next week will be Councilmember Gamble. As Councilmember Gearing, who was both appointed chair tonight, also took the pledge. Okay, anybody have any additions or questions for next week's agenda? Councilmember Gearing?
I believe we set up some, we voted on some administrative rules with regard to appeal. Are we going to have a date set for the appeal? I don't know how long it's been since we actually received it. Is that already on the extended?
It is not. Because of the rules and procedures, there's timelines that are set in there.
Okay.
And so tomorrow we'll be notifying the appellant.
Right.
And getting that scheduled to make sure okay. They're in town.
Very good. Thank you.
So let's go ahead and go over the extended agenda. One thing that I want to take note is that the draft city web / social media policy has been moved to February 17th. I know staff is still working on that, and I'd like to look that over also, and then we'll be bringing it forward. Let's see. Are there any other items on here? You'll note that the comprehensive plan update is listed every single week. So March 10th, we tentatively have scheduled County Fairgrounds Master Plan. And the thing that was the, oh, yes, I forgot, is that I send off an invite to each of you via email for a tour of the fairgrounds, not in fair season, so that you can see what it looks like when there's nobody out there. The facility, you can see, sometimes they'll have buckets hanging from the rafters to collect water going through the roof and whatnot. So while we're very much interested in the things that we can see, touch, and hear from the fairgrounds, we're also interested in what goes on in the fairgrounds, and it's, you know, I think it's valuable to walk around. So instead of going to another business or an industrial or manufacturing park business for the month of February, we're going to be going to the fairgrounds. So please, please, please RSVP. Let us know if you're going to be there. If it's a, you know, if we have a quorum, I want to make certain that we notice it as a special meeting, and we will invite members of the chamber, and we may invite Chris if you're interested in taking a tour of the fairgrounds also. So
I'll be out of town, so I won't be able to make it.
Okay, and I think that's February 26th.
It's a Thursday.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know, and I think it's at 4 o'clock. Do we do 4 o'clock? Okay.
I'm out of town as well.
Okay. So please take a look at your the email and take a look at your schedules, and please let us know. Give us at least a week's notice so that we can do what we need to do on our end. Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you'd like to point out on the extended agenda? Okay. Does anybody else have any questions or comments about the extended agenda? Oh, Councilmember Hanford, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Two things. I won't be able to have a conflict of means for the tour. I would love to go to that, but can't. Also, on February 24th, I have another conflict of means. I won't be able to be at that meeting. So I'll be absent. Somebody else will have to say the pledge. I'm sorry.
Okay. Are you going to be here on the 17th?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'll switch with you.
Okay.
So I'll take the Pledge of Allegiance on the 24th, and you take the Pledge of Allegiance on the 17th.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so we have both Councilmember Gamble and also Councilmember Hanford gone on the 24th. All right. Okay, anything else, Councilmember Hanford?
That's it.
Okay, Councilmember Camp and then Councilmember Rasmussen.
First, I thought I could attend the trip to the fairgrounds. I will not be able to.
Okay, one, two, three.
Quorum,
okay, no quorum issue.
Second, I was informed today that the Tigers have practiced their flag ceremony and would like to participate with the city council again.
That'd be great.
I just had an idea. I was hoping to do it on a night that I was scheduled to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but if somebody's willing to give it up, I think it'd be great to invite them here and have them do it again.
I think that all the council members would be willing to bump a week so that we can have the Tiger Cubs come in.
I'll contact the master and find out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I love it.
It's awesome with little guys.
Yep. Okay. First grade. Anything else, Councilmember Camp?
That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, just curious. On February 10th and February 17th, Jen Item's parking lot, what is that?
What was that? I'm sorry. Say that again.
On February 10th and February 17th, there's Jen Items on both those days, just stating parking lot. Am I missing something?
Oh, good. Yeah, row three. Good catch. What does that mean?
Gene.
Yeah, we've come up with the term, thank you for bringing that up, of parking lot, so we don't miss items. So we now have a spot where items that are pending we put in the parking lot just so we don't lose them. So, yeah.
There were things that kept getting bumped on the extended agenda, and they were getting bumped to the point where they were beyond what was on the sheet of paper. So we've created a column called the parking lot, which doesn't print out here, so that we don't lose track of them on an administrative basis. Yeah, we're not building a parking lot. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Gene, anything else?
No, nope, I just need to speak to Councilmember Hanford for a minute before he leaves.
Okay.
Doesn't have to do with the meeting.
Okay. There being no other business, Councilmember Gehring.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring and a second from Councilmember, is that Davis or Gamble?
Don't matter.
Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.